At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley. I am here with Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince. We will talk about the Illini's defeat 86-79 at Tennessee in a tough game. But there's a lot of things that you can hang your hat on to feel good about. And it was preparation for what happens when you're on the road in the Big Ten. So a good primer for the Illini players and coaches who may have forgotten just how fun the Big Ten can be. We'll be right back after these messages.
Are you tired of your friends and family members being the center of attention? Always the life of the party? Always the one who knows something no one else does? Then change the game with IlliniGuys.com. Insider info on your favorite teams, analysis on the latest games, weekly chats with coaches. You take control of the room with IlliniGuys.com. Regular updates from the experts put you courtside and in the locker room. But wait, there's more. Act now and get this free Illini Guys sweatshirt. Comfortable, stylish. Tell the world, I'm an Illini guy and you're not. Don't delay. This is a limited time offer. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the Black Friday button, and you are on your way to cool guy status. Feature articles, game analysis, members-only message boards with insider info, plus the cool sweatshirt, all yours. May they never ignore you again, thanks to IlliniGuys.com. Sign up today.
And we are back. I've got Kedrick Prince with me. Kedrick, you know, watching that game, there was a lot of interesting things going on there. What were your thoughts as you you look back at it, what happened there at Tennessee?
I went into the game thinking house money. Not a big deal if they lose, you know, tough team on the road. I've said it. I'm not going to back away from this comment. Tennessee needed to win more than Illinois did. I mean, let's face it. I mean, that's true. But when you look at this team Illinois has right now, and how good they're playing, this loss makes you mad because they play well enough to win. And it stinks because your two best players, offensive players, you know, went 4-for-23 and 10, Shannon Jr., Marcus Domas. It didn't have anything to do with Tennessee's defense. I don't want to hear that. They just didn't knock down open looks today. It happens. It stinks that it happened today because this would have been a signature win. Illinois probably would have been ranked in the top 10 if they would have won. But if you are a fan of the University of Illinois basketball team, you have to be in love right now. This is a very, very good team. And I'm going to say this, and, you know, for the people out there listening, I'm going to do with it what you want. Last year's team had a bunch of cancers on it. And this team is special because, Mike, they don't have it. This team is connected. They play well together. This actually looks like a tournament team that could do some damage in March. My last opening statement, the officials stunk today. They can say we're crying over spilt milk. They were horrible today. Some of the calls just, you know what, if I just don't like, I would much rather, I'm to the point now because of all these conferences, Mike, I would much rather see all these games be played on a neutral court because you're punishing teams. If this was a neutral court today, Illinois probably would have won.
You need to have full-time referees, you know, with both the Big Ten and the SEC approaching the point where they'll have $1 billion a year. And most of that is due to their college football product with some help from their college basketball product. I think you need full-time officials. You know, you can't have guys who are standing, waiting to see if a shot goes in, watching the player fall to the ground, and then calling the foul in dramatic fashion after he sees the shot miss a good second or two after, you know, the play happens. Guys like that don't deserve the job that they're in. And I've reffed a few games. It's really hard. But, you know, there was a period of time there when Illinois had a 5-point lead. Somehow Ty Rogers hooks a guy with the arm that's supposed to be hooking straight down at his side, parallel to his, you know, rib cage, waist, and thigh. I don't know how you can hook somebody without using your arm, but he did. Now, I think he may have reached over the top with his other hand, no doubt. But, you know, you put a team on the line for two free throws, you give them the possession, and then you had a couple of calls that happened after that where Kinect gets two free throws for Goody coming within a foot of him. And, you know, you just had all of a sudden, before you know it, they have multiple free throws on some very interesting calls, and the game goes to a slight lead for them. I'll tell you the biggest issue I had, though, Ked, is beyond the fact that the refs kind of took a game that it looks like Illinois was just about to take under total control. Yep. And they shook it up and, you know, see what would happen. The biggest frustration I had today, and I can tell from post game comments, it is not shared by the staff, and they know more obviously than I do, but I don't like Illinois taking 36 3-pointers. I thought they were decent enough on the inside to keep trying to go in and attack the rim. And I think if you take 10 less 3-point shots, and because they went 9 for 36, which is 25%, which, folks, that's lower than you expect a high school basketball team to shoot from three. I think, you know, you shift 10 of those shots, you know, inside the rim, and the way they were playing, I think, you know, the last week, I think, you know, you make half of those and you probably end up with more points and maybe a couple more fouls that puts you on the free throw line. What are your thoughts?
The first thought I'm going to say is, and I'm trying really hard to be professional here, the calls, the late whistles, and you specifically mentioned the Ty Rogers. You called a flagrant. Do you know how many fouls we've seen that could have potentially been flagrant calls, and then you call that? Those are game-changing calls. Okay, I tweeted the call that was that I thought was the worst one was the strip by Colvin Hawkins, and then I knew there was two times Quincy got hit on the arm. He made it really clear to the officials he was being hit on the arm, and every time Illinois touched him, there was a trip. They were like, I think there was 5-6 possessions in a row in the second half. They went to the free throw line, and the 3-point shots, it stunk today. But those shots went in the other day, and I do think, if I had anything, I'm not complaining about the coaching, because I'm going to tell you, I have no problem with what's happening. If I was going to do the quote-unquote Brad Underwood booty ball, I would have did it with Quincy today. Marcus didn't have it today, and that's okay, because he had it Tuesday night, you know. But he may have the next game. But if it was me, I would have went to the guy that was hot. I would have found Coleman Hawkins. Those were the guys that were filling it. You know, like I mentioned in the beginning, you know, Taryn Shannon and Marcus was 4 for 23. I mean, let's put this in perspective. That hasn't happened all year, and probably it may happen one or two more times. That's it. So the fish hitting did it hurt, because the only way was on a run, and they had a chance. But it's like and I'll tell you the shot for me, Mike, I knew Illinois was in trouble. The name slips me. It's a little left-hand guard who was running 785 miles an hour to the left-hand corner, fading behind the basket. There's no way he saw the basket and drained the three. I knew they were in trouble. I thought there's no way they're going to overcome this, because that was just – I mean, it was a great shot. And Marcus Domas played great defense. So tip your hat to them. But on the neutral court, I like our chances. And I'm going to tell you, if you want to compare Illinois, you know, to Michigan State and the rest of the Big Ten, this Tennessee team abused Michigan State. And Illinois went on the road and played them toe-to-toe without having a great average performance from two of the top offensive players.
Yep. No, it was interesting the way things worked out. I will say the one thing that people are forgetting now is we've seen Illinois has got the free throws back under control. They were 24 for 28 today. They did a nice job there, which is something that they'll need to be good from the charity stripe as the season continues. Defense was not as good in the second half. I think some of that comes from the fact as a player and you know, as a guy who's coached and you've coached, Brad's coached, it's really hard to coach your players on, you know, do this or do that when it almost seems like at halftime the rules of engagement were changed. Get better and knowing how it can come back, you know, you would like to see them not need to use him 36 minutes a game. I think you probably ideally would love to play him 25 to 30 so that he can make sure he's there every game and you have him when you need to use him on those longer nights, you've got him available. And I would say that's probably the one thing that I have. Now we also have Brad Sturdy jumping on. Brad was actually at the game in Tennessee today. We send Brad all across the United States, a game that was a very close game till a burst in the second half, and then Tennessee, to their credit, after the burst, they were able to keep the margin at a nice amount.
And Illinois didn't have a great game from their two best players, and yet they were still able to hang around and have a chance to win it in the second half. And then it gets done. But this is a great stretch of 8 days where, you know, you go on the road. These guys have slept in their beds two times in the last, like, nine nights. You know, and that is, it's hard to be at your best. You know, it's like a road trip. You know, we always joke, like NBA guys, you know, they're tired at the end of a road trip, blah, 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 and they have a bad. I don't know why we would think college guys are any different. You know what I mean? Like, so Illinois had a rough game, and they lost. And you know what? It happens. You're not going to be perfect every game, and you're not going to win every game. But I thought they competed with a really good team in Tennessee, and they showed that they have a chance to be really good. There are some things they need to clean up, but you know, I'm okay with that. I'm encouraged by this game. I really thought this game, they had a chance. Tennessee had a chance to kind of break it open, and they didn't. And so that was big for me. I thought that was I thought Illinois really competed, and I was very positive coming out of this, even though, you know, you didn't get your best performance from Terrence Shannon or Marcus Devine.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I didn't come out of this overly disappointed. The only frustration that I had was the momentum killer of a flagrant foul that at least on videotape, I don't know how you hook somebody when your arm is right next to your side.
How is that a flagrant foul with all this crap we let go? And that's a flagrant foul.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Brad? Brad, were you going to say something else with the S word?
Yeah, I know. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just a weird call to make, and it really was a momentum changer. You know, Tennessee had really, they had blocked, you know, they had, Illinois had done a great job to start the second half, and it looked like they were kind of taking control of this game until that flagrant foul, and it gave Tennessee life, and it sounds crazy that one play would do that, but that's the way things roll in basketball.
Well, it wasn't one play, though, Brad, because then you had the Luke Goody foul where he wasn't anywhere near connect, and then that put him on the line for two shots, and then you had another, you know, I mean, it was just a series of weird fouls, and then all of a sudden Illinois, their defensive intensity stumbled because I don't think they knew how to play without getting fouls called.
Well, but connect did fall down, so it had to be a foul.
Yeah, obviously, just like Ziegler fell down at the feet of a line iron on a press, and then that was a foul, which was interesting. My premise is, and this is where I clearly am too old and stuck in my ways, I would have liked to have seen less threes from the Illini and more attacking the paint like they did against FAU, who's obviously much smaller and not as athletic as Tennessee. What did you think? Would you have liked to seen a few less three-pointers, or were you good with shot selection today?
I agree with you. I think I wish they would have taken some fewer threes. I thought they took some bad threes. But I also thought they took a lot of really good threes that didn't go down. And so I think when you are in a situation where you have open threes, you have to shoot them. And Illinois had good shots. I mean, DeMast had some good looks. Chan had some good looks. They missed. I thought, you know, they took some rush ones to it, you know, a few, but, you know, overall, I thought they got good looks. And the problem is that you have to make them on the road. But there were opportunities for them to drive, and that's when they fell. I thought there were a few of those. But what Tennessee does defensively is they're going to make you shoot those threes. And they get in the gap as well as any team in the country. That's what they're really good at, staying in their gap and getting in there and making you make an extra pass. And they want you to make that extra pass and make that play and throw the ball, you know, make the extra pass so they have a chance to recover. And they're really good at it. You know, they stunt sometimes where they fake like they're coming into the gap, then they go back. You know, this is what, and, you know, this is what good teams do. They're a great defensive team. I mean, they were number two in the nation on KenPom coming into this. So it shouldn't be shocking that they're good defensively. It's like, you know, like people didn't understand, like, they might be okay. You know, people look at their record of 5-3, but you look at the games they lost, could have won every game and against really good competition, except maybe North Carolina. But, you know, they end up cutting that one to 8. But, you know, the games of Purdue or whatever, or Kansas, what, I mean, those are games they could have won just as decent as they lost.
I thought there was only one bad three that I remember. And I didn't like it when the shot went up. And then I looked at Coach Underwood and, you know, he put his hands down. I was like, easy, easy. Was when Quincy Guerriere shot one late in the second half. The reason I didn't have a problem with him is because Terrence Shannon shoots 45% from the three. You've seen Quincy struggle from three. You know, Marcus Domask was hot last week. Terrence Shannon shoots 45% as well. So to me, I had no problem with the threes because they were open looks. This team has made those shots all year. And that, Brad's right. That's what Tennessee wants you to do. And with one of the things I mentioned earlier, on a neutral court, you know, maybe the shots go in, or maybe even if it's not a neutral court, maybe Illinois is not on a 8-day stretch or 9-day stretch when they're on the road. It's a different shooting night. Because if they would have shot like they played against FAU, Tennessee would have got blown out today. Because as poorly as they shot from, you know, well, 9-36, whatever, they still had a chance to win. And your two of your best offensive players didn't give you anything. But what I like about this team, a guy who I think I would love to get maybe 5-10 more minutes is Justin Harmon. I think he's dangerously good. But when you look at a team like when your two best players are struggling, Coleman Hawkins stepped up offensively. But that's what Quincy's there for. Here's another guy. You know, this team is put together with stars, in my opinion, from other teams, playing with Terrence Shannon and Coleman Hawkins and Luke Goody and Ty Rogers. So they've all been the quote-unquote man on the team. That's what makes this team special. Because on a night where Terrence Shannon didn't shoot the ball well or Marcus Domask, you had another guy step up in Quincy. So I'm not panicking. I'm not – the shot selection didn't bother me because they could go out and play Missouri or somebody else and go 11-24 from three or 11-27. And people forget about it. I just think they were open looks, and they just didn't fall. When you shoot, that's the nature of the beast. You know, it just didn't happen today.
Brad, when it comes to it, I was looking through the different statistics today and watching the game. A couple things jumped out at me a little bit. Illinois State, even with them on turnovers, and that alone, I thought was pretty amazing. That they, you know, 9 turnovers for each team. But what really kind of shocked me was Illinois has proved yet again, and this every year I think they prove this, their press is actually effective because they caused Tennessee, the team that has a point guard, quite a bit of problem with the press. Did you anticipate that this team could go out there and actually execute the press that well?
You're not going to do it. And why the press is so effective is because the other team's not trying to score
right
at that point. They're trying to run clock. They're just trying to get it across the timeline. So there are times now, here's what I'd like to see them do. And I understand, you know, foul trouble, this and that. Maybe, you know, maybe when you get ready and you have, as Gibbs, LaHorn, and Hansberry get more, you know, experience, maybe you can do more things like that. But I just left off. Dead ball, you know, you're shooting two free throws under the eight timeout. You come out after a made free throw and slap it on real quick. Because you saw Tennessee do that, so Illinois take a timeout. Now, that seems like a minor thing, but that's a timeout Illinois couldn't use at the end of the half. And, you know, just little things like that. And maybe you don't get a turnover, maybe too, but I really like those kinds of things. I'm big on doing things like that, where you just kind of, you know, surprise the other team. And you know, and I think Illinois could do that. Now, in their defense, maybe they will against Purdue, you know, when we get to the Big Ten. Maybe they're saving it a little bit for when they need it in a game like that, you know, because, you know, it's not something that teams probably have scouted much against Illinois. So, you know, I think that, you know, you can use it later. But I do like their length when they have the right lineups out there. They can really do some good things. And I thought Tennessee, honestly, I thought twice Illinois got called for fouls in that press when Tennessee guy just flipped.
Yes. Yes.
I really thought there were two times that they, you know, Gibbs Lawson, as the announcer kept calling him, Draven Gibbs LaHorn, he got called for a foul. It was very ticky-tack, but the guy slipped. And then Ziegler completely just fell down and went out of bounds. And they called a foul on Illinois. It was stunning on Goody. It was just a bizarre call there.
Yes, they were. And to be honest with you, those were the kinds that make you grab your hair because, one, he just slipped and fell, could have called a travel right in front of the bench. And what I think, when people say officiating doesn't affect the game, the strip ball by Coleman Hawkins, the flagrant foul, you know, called on Ty Rogers, the lack of fouls of Quincy getting hammered on the arm, the slippage that you just mentioned, those are possessions. Those are possessions that you lose and that you lost. I think, honestly, I think Brad just wants to see how his team's competing because he really, you know, in years past, Brad was much more demonstrative on the bench. I think he's on to something. I do. It stinks today. You know, tomorrow we forget about it. This is a good team. I think they're gonna be special. It's nice to see a team, you know, a team that gets along, a team that has a lot of weapons, that can do a lot of different things. You know, you don't always get this. I think you should enjoy the ride. You know, I think this is definitely, I think right now, if Purdue's number one, I mean, Illinois is one a step below because I think they're the two best teams in the conference without a doubt. And this is a good thing because most people predicted Illinois to finish fourth, but now they see what they can do offensively and they guard and they're making free throws. All the little things we talk about, they're doing to win games. We complain about free throws. They make free throws. They play defense. They have guys that can shoot. They have a go-to guy. There's other guys that can step up. Look at the big picture. This is a really, really good team that they have assembled. The key is staying healthy.
Yes, and we talked about, you know, the fact that Hawkins playing 36 minutes a game, you know, might be concerning, not because of his quality of play, but because you don't want him to strain himself or you know, put a pounding on that tendonitis. Is there something Illinois can do, Brad, to find a way to keep Dane Danger on the floor a little more, or is the defensive lapses just big enough that it's that you really got to pick and choose your spots?
Well, I think that Dane is what he is. I think that he's going to have – I thought today in the first half, I thought he was solid. I think that what happened in the second half was once they got down, they felt like they had to have that space on offense. My personal opinion is I think they should have gone with Dane a little bit and forced them to change the way that, you know, they play a little bit and use the post, throw it in the post a couple times. I thought there were a couple times he had openings and they could have gotten him the ball in the middle and he could have done some things. And that's one thing, like, if you're going to put a guy like Dane in the game, you have to use him for that 2 or 3 minutes that he's in the game. Because if you don't, then it's a net negative. So you have to get the offense out of him if you're not going to use – you understand what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
If you're not going to get great defense, which you know you're not, then you have to get offense out of him or don't put him in. You know, find somebody else. I mean, that's the thing I've never understood, like, you have to use those guys when you put them in, even if it's just for 2 or 3 minutes, get them 1 or 2 touches in the paint so that they can feel good about themselves. And also because then they're productive and then they're going to play better on the other end. So that's the one thing I think they have to do a better job.
Brad, we mentioned that before you got on the air. I mean, I've said it. I really think they could have utilized him today. And I'll tell you another kid that I think they could have utilized in stretches to give Coleman a break. I think Amani could have given them 2 or 3 minutes, and you know, right before TV timeouts, a couple of times if they were concerned about, you know, Coleman's knees or Dane not being able to guard or whatever. I mean, you could. I think Amani and Drayvon both are good enough kids where you can give them 6 minutes a game to spell people at this point. I know you want them on the. I mean, you want your veterans on the court. I get it. I understand that. But I think Dane is much more serviceable. I think personally, me, and I don't want to repeat this because I know the listeners have already heard it, he's too good of a valuable of an asset to not have on the court as much as he's not on the court, if that makes sense.
I agree. Brad,
yeah, the other question I had, Brad, was were you surprised by the rebounding differential, you know, nine more for the Volunteers? And particularly, I guess I was surprised that Vescovi was such a good rebounder. He led the team in rebounds and almost made double digits with a 9-rebound effort at 6'3", but I'm not certain he's as tall as he's listed.
Yeah, I mean, the rebounding numbers are, I'm going to be honest with you, I think they're a bit skewed. I know they talked about him after the game, but when you go back and look, Illinois had more second-chance points and more offensive rebounds than Tennessee on fewer misses, because Tennessee missed fewer shots. So, yeah, I mean, Illinois, if that's going to be your thing, you're going to be a great rebounding team, then you can't afford to, you know, get beat on the boards. But I don't think it was quite as egregious as it looks, because a lot of Tennessee's misses were free throws that literally, you know, nobody could rebound, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I'm not as big. I think second chance points were like 20-11 in favor of Illinois or something like that. But it just seemed like every time it was second chance were 20-11. I thought the bigger issue was letting – Tennessee get into the paint too easily, which created a lot of those second chance points that seemed to all be in like key spots. That three was a backbreaker when they connect misses, they get the rebound, they kick it back out to him, gets their shot, and he drains the three. I thought that, you know, part of that 10-0 run, I thought that was a backbreaker. But, you know, overall, I think when Illinois had 12 offensive rebounds, Tennessee had 13, but Illinois had 20 second chance points to 11 for Tennessee. And, you know, then you look at defensive rebounds, you know, Illinois, you know, there were just so many more missed shots, too, on that defensive end. So you're going to get more. But, yeah, so I thought rebounding was part of it, especially in the second half, I thought was an issue. But I think the bigger issue is that Illinois just let them get into the paint way too easy.
I thought there was times when, and I think Coach Underwood, maybe the staff saw it, they when Luke Goody was out there, you know, I think they really did that, especially when they went to the – if you guys get a chance to go back and watch the game again, I think they purposely – when they saw Luke Goody, they really, really tried attacking him, because it's not fair to Luke, but it was very, very noticeable because they didn't look to do it as much. And then there was one time where Luke just let it happen. So and I remember the next trip down the court, he was subbed out because of it. You know, because once you get the ball in the middle of the paint, it's easy. A lot of things opens up for the offense.
The final question I had for you, Brad, was as you look at the statistics sheet, Illinois had 9 assists. Tennessee had 21. Turnovers, not having a point guard really didn't make too much of a difference. Steals were 6-5. Not a ton of difference there. What do you think the cause is? Is the assist number today lower just because the Illini didn't shoot as well from the three, which lowered their overall shooting percentage? Is it a cause of not having a point guard? What are your thoughts on that 21-9 differential in assists?
Well, I think it's, you know, not having a point guard obviously is an issue. I think the assists are also a product of the way Illinois plays, where they, you know, trying to get downhill. You know, Shannon wants to go downhill. They want Damask to post up. You know, those are things where you're not going to get a ton of assists unless you are going to double team. And Tennessee, they dug a little bit. They didn't really double team even when they had smaller guys. They tried to make Damask shoot twos over them, and he missed today. And they made Shannon, you know, they got in gaps and made it hard for him. And so what Illinois doesn't have is a guy who gets into the paint, jump stops, and then finds an open guy. The one guy who tries to do that a little bit is Hawkins, and I think of the 9 assists, did he have 3 of them or something like that? I think that was right. So
four.
You look at a guy like him, Four. Yeah, certainly four of the nine assists, but he's the guy who does that. The other guy is Ty Rogers, who can do that a little bit, you know. So they don't have a lot of guys. Shannon is not a guy who penetrates the pass. They did not double the mouth. And he just didn't make shots. So I think there's a combination. But Illinois doesn't play the style that they're going to have a ton of assists. And some of that's because they don't have a point guard. I think when you had a guy like Nico Moretti running it, but you would be different, obviously. I think next year you might see a different style offense, you know, a little bit. But right now that's what they do. Now, is Josiah Jordan James the point guard for Tennessee? Not really, but he had 7 assists. They had multiple guys. They really sprayed it around. And Illinois just doesn't play that style.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Mike. I mean, from what Brad was saying, you know, just overall, you know, but, you know, on IlliniGuys.com, you know, I wrote a piece on Ty today. I mean, and he's serviceable. I think a lot of teams might make a really big deal out of the point guard play. I'm not 100% sure, but I think Ty Rogers shot 75% from the free throw line. I think he was 3 or 4 today from the line. I like what he brings to the table. I like that he plays defense. I like that he rebounds and, you know, and he can guard smaller guards. But, you know, the offense is clicking. And I don't think you need a guy like – it would be great if Ty could put up 15 points a game. But when you have guys on the court that are scoring, you know, all four of the other starters are very capable of putting up 15 points a night. So I'm content with, you know, what he does. And, you know, the free throws today, I mean, I know people are quick to be negative, but they need to give the positives when it happens. And he walked up there today, and he looks confident. Shooting free throws much different than we did last year.
Illinois has a little bit of a break here for a week before I think they play Colgate next. Brad, what thoughts do you have coming off this game? Because like you, I kind of feel like this game was a great primer for being on the road in the Big Ten. The team didn't get blown out. They had some horrific calls and we didn't get any technicals. Nobody, you know, had a meltdown. God, I would have, you know, if we'd had Curbelo still playing, who knows how many tees we'd have got with a couple of these calls. So I looked at this as a game that Illinois had under control, and they're not good enough to sometimes overcome external forces. And that gives you an opportunity maybe to focus on trying to get the ball inside, at least as my old aged eyes try to look at it. But what are your closing thoughts here as we go away from a very successful three-game road trip away from State Farm Center?
Well, I'm pretty encouraged. I mean, if you're not encouraged this road trip of 2-1 when you win at Rutgers, there's 1-0 in the Big Ten, and you know, a top 15 FAU team, and you lose a road game at Tennessee, who's also a top, you know, 15 team, SEC preseason favorite, who has just played a gauntlet of teams, who's been at home now for a week. You go into their place, and you know, instead of you've been on the road for 9 days. So this is, I mean, I'm not saying they, you know, you there's no moral victories in college basketball. It's not like you say this, but at the end of the day, like if you step back and look at it, Illinois is not going at the end of the world. They're looking like Brad Underwood said it. He said we're really good. He said we're really good, and we're not where we need to be yet, but we're going to be really good. And he doesn't say that very often. After a loss, especially, you know, after the Penn State game, this was this weekend, last game, last year. So different team, different dynamic. And this is, I'm pretty encouraged. I mean, I think they got a chance to do some really good things. I think it's just a matter now of they got a week of practice and then they've got games against Colgate, Missouri, and Fairleigh Dickinson, three games that you have to win. And then you head into the Big Ten season. If you're 10-2, heading into that game against what is it? Is it at Purdue? Or do they have one before that against Northwestern? Regardless. But, yeah, I mean, you go into this and you're like, hey, let's see what happens.
You know what, Mike, for me real quick, what I want to see is Coleman Hawkins hopefully get to rest his knee. That's number one. And my other thing is this is the third time I've mentioned it. I want them to find ways to get Dame to 10 minutes on the court. I think that's huge. But that is, they have to find a way. Kings would love to have a guy like him, and he's sitting on the bench. I'm not criticizing the coaching by stretching the imagination. I just think he's very, very valuable and can help, especially when teams are pounding the ball on inside. And there is no harm in playing them both, Coleman Hawkins and Dame, together. you know what, if one gets tired, sit Dane out. He's not going to play 25, 30 minutes anyway, and Coleman's used to it. I think today the length would have really kind of bothered Tennessee, some of those rebounds that Brad Underwood talked about today, because I think he was really frustrated with the lack of rebounding. Dane is long enough, and he's going to block shots, and he's long enough to go get some of them. So that's what I want to see. You know, this happened during this break. I don't care about the shooting. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. And Brad is right. Coach Underwood likes his team, and you can see a different demeanor. He doesn't have to say a lot to this group. They're just, it's a special group, and I think it's going to be a good year. Again, if they stay healthy, and I think this is going to be the group that's going to get him. They get a good seed that's going to get him out of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and just for those who are thinking about it, Illinois plays Colgate a week from tomorrow. That's on Sunday the 17th. That'll be at noon on Big Ten Network. So that'll give Hawkins some time to get that knee better. Then on the 22nd, on Friday night the 22nd, Missouri will be, they'll be doing the border battle, and that's on at 8 o'clock on FS1. Then on the 29th, again, a little bit of a break, so a seven-day break. The 29th, Fairleigh Dickinson, which will be obviously at the State Farm Center, 8 p.m., Big Ten Network. And then, as Brad mentioned, they start off the Big Ten season on January 2nd, 8 p.m., against Northwestern at home. And then on Friday the 5th, they go on the road to the darkest of all evil places, Purdue, to play the Boilermakers. So you can see that there's a little bit of time here. Let's all hope for great rehab for Coleman, a little bit of hyperbaric oxygen maybe, and some using some of the great training facilities that are at UBIN, and get him healthy, because once this Big Ten season starts in earnest, it's going to be exciting, but we're going to need him on the court.
Mark, can I say one more thing, Mark, yep, before you end it?
Yep.
Those who are listening to this podcast today, if it's possible, get out and support the women tomorrow at State Farm Center in Champaign tomorrow at 2 o'clock. They open up Big Ten play against Michigan. So, you know, the women need the support, you know, as well. So if you're capable and it's possible for you to get out there to support the Illini women tomorrow.
Perfect. That Shauna Green will appreciate that. We definitely, we're excited about the prospects of this team. We're Illini fans too. We want the Illini to win, but there are games that can make you walk away shaking your head, wondering about a team. And then there's games that you say, well, you know what, we just didn't play well enough, and you got to give it to the team that won. In this case, we feel like Tennessee's a pretty darn good team, and I don't think any of us is worried about the prospects of the Illini, you know, especially based on anything we've seen, particularly in this last week with the Rutgers, FAU, and Tennessee games. I think the it's a very high ceiling for this team, and I also think there's a high floor too. So we're excited about it, and we hope you are too. We'll be right back after these messages.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly 2-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in 6 states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com, and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com, and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
Thank you so much to Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince for taking time on a Saturday afternoon to come on and share their thoughts about the Illini performance today. We will, of course, be back with more coverage. The Illini take a little bit of a break in their schedule here, and we'll be off for a few days. But don't worry, I on the Illini will be here, and you'll get some information, and we will keep you in touch with everything. There's a lot of football recruiting going on right now, so don't forget about us at IlliniGuys.com. And, of course, on Friday or Saturday, go to IlliniGuys.com, check out the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular page, the radio page, and you'll see what station we're on, that's close to you, what channel and what time. You'll be able to tune in and listen to the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. Make sure you call up the radio station. Tell them thank you for having us on. That really helps us a lot. And you can also get the Eye on the Illini, the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular, Keds Recruiting Roundup, and Sturdy for 30 on podcast as well. We look forward to talking to you in the future. And go Illini!
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting, IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams. And we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store or online today. Ashley, for the love of home.